we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead. So Dr. Mandy Cohen, the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, tells the Associated Press that the agency has taken bird flu seriously, but stressed that the virus has already been well studied. The fact that it is in cattle now definitely raises our concern level, she says. The good news is that it's not a new strain of the virus. This is known to us, and we've been studying it, and frankly, we've been preparing for avian flu for 20 years. This is after a couple of Americans have been infected with H5N1. One was in Colorado, late 22, I believe it was, and one in Texas just recent. Welcome in, friends, to America Out Loud Pulse. It is indeed Malcolm Out Loud here, along with my co-host, who I think has a lot to say about this.
Dr. Peter McCullough, ready for bird flu.
Ready for bird flu. You can't believe this. I've seen those early reports, and I thought to myself, oh boy, what are they up to now? So there's a lot to this one, isn't there?
There is. And, you know, we've been waiting for what could be disease X. Disease X being something that, you know, disrupts everything in, you know, our world, and has, you know, a deep history and ready-made solutions. You mentioned it's just two cases. The guy in Texas is said to not have come in contact with birds, but rather a cow. And he's got pink eye. He's got conjunctivitis. He's not even sick. And it said he tested positive. Now there's stories emerging that, you know, they're going to kill, you know, massive amounts of various forms of chicken and poultry. Right. And then the vaccine. And Malcolm, you just can't make this up. Here we have Sequarius, a company, CSL Sequarius, announces U.S. FDA approval for a multi-dose vial presentation of the first ever adjuvanted cell-based pandemic influenza vaccine, a bird flu vaccine. It's called Audenz, A-U-D-E-N-Z, originally approved in February of 2020. Now listen to this. This approval marks, and I'm reading from their press release, this approval marks an important milestone in the company's pandemic preparedness efforts in partnership with BARDA, the research unit of the military that was involved in the COVID-19 vaccine development. And then it reads on. It says that this has a novel platform, that it uses proprietary MF59 adjuvant technology with its cell-based manufacturing platform that is an alternative to egg-based manufacturing. And they're designed to enhance and broaden the body's immune system with a broad amount of cross-reactive antibodies. And listen to this. In October of 2021, Sequarius announced a $34.95 million agreement with BARDA to develop two influenza vaccine candidates using adjuvanted cell-based platform technology and their second generation self-amplifying messenger RNA technology.
My dear. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So now this is, and it goes on, this is actually a stunning development. They have an agreement to provide, I believe, 150 million doses pre-purchased. This is stunning. Yeah, here it is. It says right here, under the terms of the public-private partnership established in 2009, Sequarius would position itself to deliver 150 million influenza vaccine doses to the U.S. government to support an influenza pandemic response within 6 months. So the question on the table is bird flu our next disease X? Because this seems too good to be true for a company in the U.S. government that has a vaccine cooking And it's a genetic vaccine.
All right. So there's a lot of similarities from what you just described as we uncovered more and more with the COVID era and what had transpired. And let me ask you, these companies and these groups who do this sort of thing before there ever is a disease or a problem, that, I mean, is that's not unusual that that should raise suspicions, right? I mean, we should be suspicious. I mean, if you're preparing for something we don't even know we're going to have, or is there an argument to be made? I'm a serious question. Is there an argument to be made that these organizations and government entities are doing due diligence, or is that naive?
They are doing what Disease X Research says. Disease X Research says that we can outsmart nature, we can know what's going to come out ahead of time, and we can be positioned with a vaccine. And again, that, you know, this is, they're saying 6 months and we could have a vaccine. So it's game on. So anything that comes out, any type of scare, and the government money flows, Malcolm. Think about the money involved in 150 million doses. This thing is actually already FDA approved. Now it's going to be a gold mine if there's a bird flu scare.
So wait a minute now. This one is already approved. So this would not be an EUA by any stretch then.
No, this is already approved. Now it's going to be a public scare. Or again, it could be mandates. Oh, the poultry workers need to take it and the people in the grocery store need to take it. And, you know, on and on and on. But this one, the first version is already out and they've already got the agreement to get the genetic one going, you know, ASAP.
Mm-hmm. All right. So a couple of things here. CBS News says after two avian flu cases in humans, U.S. officials warns states to prepare for more. That's a very ominous headline, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. How do they know?
Exactly.
How do they know that? So the fear mongering has already been revved up. Now, there's been fear mongering before with bird flu because it doesn't really jump to humans very readily. It's said to be a deadly strain. It can be deadly in animals, but the human manifestations, this one guy who has it in Texas, it's pretty mild as a case of pink eye. So clearly, you know, the fear over COVID has died down. The monkeypox fear never really took off. We got ahead of that in the media. Now we see a bona fide fear-based campaign coming at us, you know, right on schedule. Right. And here, the pre-manufacture of these vaccines and the pre-arrangement of them, this is too set up. This looks just like COVID-19.
Well, let me ask you, this also sounds a little dangerous in the way that not only from everything you just described and a vaccine that's already on the shelf or what have you, but that this could wipe out from, and we've seen this previously, this could wipe out food supplies. You could have food problems with this, correct?
Good point. This could constrain the food supply because that's going to be one of the pandemic response measures.
Yeah. All right. So history on this thing now, the World Health Organization put out a little blurb. They say this bird flu was first identified as a threat during a 1997 outbreak in Hong Kong. And I remember that, Dr. McCullough, back in the outbreak in Hong Kong, of course, and in China mainland had some problems with it. In the past two decades, now listen to this, nearly 900 people have been diagnosed globally with bird flu, and more than 460 people have died, they're saying. So that's a fairly large death rate if only 900 got it. I mean, so as far as this not being lethal to humans, I don't, according to this, I wouldn't subscribe to that based on that statement. Is this accurate or what do you?
It depends on the, again, it depends on the context. Right. So, you know, bird flu in someone in Indonesia who's elderly and there's no antibiotics to handle the secondary pneumonia and there's no early treatment and what have you, we get these, you know, we get these mortality numbers. With SARS-1, there was mortality numbers like this. But you've got a guy, the first bona fide case in recent years, and he's got a case of pink eye. I mean, come on. So so these case fatality rates, I think we have to look at very carefully. You know, recently, there was a measles scare in Florida. You probably heard Florida Surgeon General Joel Adepo say, come on, this is not such a big deal. And people came out immediately and said, well, you know, people are going to die of measles, that measles has this mortality rate. Turns out there hasn't been a measles death in the United States for decades. And when there are measles deaths, they occur in kind of underdeveloped countries that don't have any, you know, ability to even give basic support antibiotics for secondary infections or ICU support if it's ever needed. And measles is characteristically a mild illness. Now, I was recently at an event in Michigan, and Dr. David Brownstein gave a presentation. It was so funny because it was talking about, you know, these scares. And he brought up a 1972 clip of the Brady Bunch. And Peter comes home with the measles. And he's happy because he's going to get a few days off school. And then the other kids in the Brady Bunch get it. Then the parents get it. And they have a big chart of everyone got it. And each one had a couple dots on their head or their face. And it was just, it was such a mild illness. The point is, and then after that, they have, you know, permanent immunity if you get measles. But the measles vaccine doesn't provide full immunity. So the measles outbreaks that we see, it's typically half vaccinated, half unvaccinated. But the point is, it's not a killer. Everything's being portrayed to us as a killer. I would question these bird flu statistics only because, like any form of influenza, the virus itself is typically not lethal. It's a secondary staphylococcal pneumonic infection. That's the problem.
All right. So, because these numbers that I just read from the World Health Organization, this is their deal, their data, their numbers, not mine. And but you would agree, if that was accurate, that's a very high death rate, 460 out of 900. That's huge.
Yeah, if that was in modern day medicine, right, and despite everything we're doing in the United States hospitals, but that's not the case.
No, I understand. Yeah. But I mean, but on that basis, it would be if you were comparing apples and apples. All right. Opine on this for me now. Let me just tell you, and doing my research on this here. It's a type A H5N1. It was first identified in 1959. And like other viruses, it has evolved over time, like all these things do, spawning newer versions of itself, according to what Mandy Cohen said, as I recall moments ago here, said this was the same sort of caliber virus, not anything different. Now, they say here since 2020, the virus has been spreading among more animal species, including dogs, cats, skunks, bears, and even seals in scores of countries. In the U.S., this version of the bird flu has been detected in wild birds in every state. Every state has this, as well as commercial poultry operations and backyard flocks. Nationwide, tens of millions of chickens have died from the virus or have been killed to stop outbreaks from spreading. I remember those stories. So last week, U.S. officials said it had been found in livestock. As of Tuesday, it had been discovered in daily herds in five states, Idaho, Kansas, Michigan, New Mexico, and Texas. This is the United States Department of Agriculture put that out. So what do you make of all that? Tell me what all that means.
You know, it's showing that it's a highly prevalent virus, and there are highly prevalent paramyxoviruses and other forms of viruses within livestock. And I'm sure there's going to be contemplation of a mass kill off of livestock to contain the contagion. Another approach is to let it happen, let the animals get natural immunity and, you know, cook the meat very well. People are going to become very distrustful of the safety of the food supply. I think this has the makings of a major scare.
But it could be quite serious if they start banning and killing all the food supplies and what have you. That would certainly get to the point of things we've talked about prior in other situations with the food supply here. Been a lot of weird things with the food supply going on over the last many years. This would play to that narrative for sure. All right, let me also understand now, medically speaking, Dr. McCullough, the fact, all right, I always understood in studying this bird flu and even back, like I said, when the Hong Kong scare was there in China and all of that, that it did not jump to humans very easily at all. It was an animal deal, but that's never a guarantee is what I'm gathering here. And the fact that any idea, could you give some medical component as to why it has jumped, like the dude in Texas and the other one, Carter have it, and these other people, why that has happened? And what would cause it to do that more if this was going to be a disease X kind of problem?
I mean, there's one article out with some speculation that he must have had a high amount of the liquid or the inoculum on his hands, and he touched his eyes, and he transferred it to his eyes. It's got to be something unusual, you know, animal handlers, people who are trying to grab all these chickens, this and that. It's not going to be you and me, you know, going through the grocery store. But it's probably a contact inoculum issue. It's a virus that's not well designed to infect human cells. And, you know, when it does infect animals, there's probably a large rate where the animals have no symptoms at all and they just get immunity to it. All of you have seen your pets have a day where they're just kind of down and they don't feel too good or they're not too perky. And you do wonder if your pet has actually gotten a viral infection. And it's certainly possible, but you can imagine how the fear mongering could really take off here if people start to be fearful of their pets,
right.
They're fearful of the food supply. There's heavy, you know, let's say if the USDA steps in and says, listen, there needs to be a mass kill off of poultry and poultry, you know, sources of chicken farms and things like this. This really could get out of control. That's the reason why we're talking about it right now.
Yeah.
Let's hope it doesn't. But this could really get out of trouble because the way it's described is, you know, highly lethal bird flu is on the rise. And then, you know, the fear is injected into society.
So when you clarify up front here, let me make sure to make the connection properly here for all of us here. When you say, you know, and you point to disease X, as there's been a lot of conversation about what that is. When you speak about that in the context, you're speaking about, I'm asking, I guess, the question. I mean, you have the fear-mongering part over here and where the media gets carried away and, and as you say, the kill-off of all of this and things get out of control. So when you talk about a disease X sort of component, you're not talking about the fact that, you know, thousands or millions of people are going to be infected with this thing. That's not the component of this you're worried about. It's strictly the fear-mongering. Is that a safe statement or...?
Right. I think it's a fair statement. Now, if it mutates and then humans start to spread it to one another, then it's kind of game on for another COVID-19 pandemic.
But could that happen, please? Talk to us about the mutation. I'm really curious about this. Could this happen in a disease X environment?
It could. Now, there may be pressures. Let's just say, for example, that this did come out of a lab and somehow it you know, is nefariously placed in a chicken farm, then it could be designed to make that jump. But let me tell you, we have four FDA-approved drugs to treat influenza right now on the shelf. We have Tamiflu, which is oseltamivir. We have zanamivir, which is Relenza. We have pirmivir, which is rapivimab. And then we have baloxamir, marboxil, which is the trade name Xofluza. So the point is, we have drugs that are available. Even the Bloxars is a single dose by mouth approved to treat children age, down to age 5 years, and then we certainly can go up 12 years and older. But the point is, Malcolm, we have a lot of tools in our toolbox to keep this from getting out of control. So I want people to understand that the current vaccine is available. We don't know if it's safe or not. It simply hasn't been used enough for us to
You mentioned the mRNA. Talk about that again. Is that's a component of this?
Current one looks like it's self-replicating RNA. Self-replicating messenger RNA, as far as I can tell. The press release is a little nebulous. Now, it may be the Audenz itself, let me try to get a little bit more clarity on this.
And while you do that, I mean, you know, you have to question after the first round, as you're looking that up, Dr. McCullough, why would anybody in their right mind even consider this sort of first of all, this is a rare event, number one. It's not even happening anywhere. The fact that this thing has been on the shelf already and they're going to roll it out, and any mention of an mRNA, and I'm running like hell the other way, even before that point, but I wouldn't touch a vaccine if they gave me a free lottery number with it or something. I just think it's a bad deal. So I can't imagine there's going to be any demand for this thing. But what you're thinking is they might make the demand for it, I guess, is what you're suggesting, right, with the disease X component.
They could make the, yeah, they could make the demand for it. And boy, is this concerning. This has all the look and feel of a disease X. Why is BARDA, the research unit of the military,
right,
involved in this tech with this company, with this Sequarius company? What is going on there? Since when? Why is that needed?
Why is it needed? It's not.
Yeah.
Needed,
why is the military involved in a bird flu? You know, unless they thought the bird flu could be a biological threat, because BARDA is supposed to be defending us with new research technology on biological threats.
That's a great point right there, brother.
Right?
That's a great point. Yeah.
And it hasn't been explained to us
yeah.
in any other way.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So it's not like, well, here's the reason why BARDA is now working, you know, to improve your human health, wow. You know, general public health. So,
interesting.
So, yeah, so this is, here, I've got the peer-reviewed paper now on what is this. So it says here, according to the Department of Health and Human Services and the Department of Homeland Security. Why is Homeland Security involved? This is a peer-reviewed manuscript. A vaccine specific to an emerging pandemic influenza strain should be available to vaccinate the entire U.S. population within 6 months of the declaration of a pandemic. This is in a manuscript published in Human Vaccines and Immunotherapeutics in 2023. The first author is Sharon Fry. It looks like they're just getting lathered up.
Well, that plays to your point when you started this broadcast, frankly, about the comments and with BARDA and Disease X and the potential for other problems here, including the food supply and everything else, right?
Right. This is
crazy.
This novel M59 is an oil in water immersion stabilized by tween 80 and span 85, enhances the differentiation of immune cells, T cell activation. It is present egg propagated trivalent and quadrivalent vaccines. So it looks like an antigen based vaccine. And it's just, it's just, this thing's locked and loaded.
It's
locked and loaded. It's ready to go. And the fact that the company already has a financial arrangement for a second generation, which is a self-replicating messenger RNA vaccine, that's just right on their website. Is extremely worrisome. These papers.
Well, a couple of things. I mean, we'll all be watching this story extremely closely, to say the least. We're far more informed than we were from the very start of COVID and all of that episode. But the other warning sign that I get a lot of people are unsuspecting about right now, Peter, is the. A lot of folks do believe there's, I hate to even say this, but they believe there's going to be some sort of a calamity, some sort of an event, some sort of something between now and the election. I don't know. You have a sense of that? You hear stories about that?
Well, let's just play this out. Let's say this thing really, more people start to get sick, and then some people who are not farm workers get sick.
Right.
And then we have a full-on panic.
That's right.
And there's a massive kill off of the poultry business. Government steps in with subsidies to these guys. Then we're worried about cattle and other livestock. Then everything's pulled off the shelves in the stores, big recalls. Our pets now are threatened, and now we distrust our pets. Talk about a panic. This could be it. We have to shut down in-person voting. We can only vote from home. And
that's what they're saying. That's
it. You can just imagine, right? So people have said, listen, are they going to try to influence? This is it. This could be disease X. And I'm so glad we're talking about it, because we want to get ahead of this. If this is disease X, let's fully understand what this virus is, the background of it, the strains, the pre-preparation of the vaccines. These ones are already are FDA approved. But don't forget, the emergency use authorization can be manipulated in any way. They could say, listen, it's an emergency. Now we're going to EUA authorize them. That's what initially was done with hydroxychloroquine. Remember, it was already FDA approved and on the market.
Yeah.
And then the FDA declared an emergency use authorization for hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, and ivermectin was on the market all that time. But manipulation is the right word. They did so much of that through COVID. Your head would spin off the axles here. Listen, the symptoms of bird flu, by the way, you're talking from what I, again, and you know this, I guess it's coughing, body aches, fever, that sort of thing. But some people there are severe cases where it becomes life-threatening pneumonia. And again, when you start talking like that, it makes me think of the COVID episode, because when it became pneumonia and got into your respiratory tract like that, oh, all bets are off there. We seen that up front, didn't we? You know, right?
It's true. I mean, look at this manuscript. You can't make this up. Here's a manuscript by Javed Cheristad, and it was published in Travel Medicine and Infectious Diseases in September, October of 2023. So last fall, listen to this. A comprehensive review of highly pathogenic avian influenza, H5N1, an imminent threat at doorstep. This is a peer-reviewed paper.
Wow.
This is a peer-reviewed
paper. So there are already some groups who are already sizing this up as what you described, as what you say there,
This is in the peer-reviewed literature. Yeah. And the first sentence is, they give the same number you gave regarding 878 cases and 458 fatalities.
Yeah, half of them are dead. Yeah.
So they put a 52.16 fatality rate in 23 countries.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a serious death rate, if there's any truth to any of that. It's a serious death rate. I mean, you've got half of the numbers. You don't see something like that. I mean, COVID wasn't like that ever. You know,
I know, but it's all about the details.
That's right.
Is it workers who are handling these animals? They get a ton of exposure.
Yeah.
And is it that? But, you know, if we get something that passes from human to human and it has a 50% death rate, it's not going to go too far.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's exactly it. Let me ask you this too, as well. In Nature, there was a statement that I picked up on, which said, the virus does not spread widely in humans thus far, in part because it can't readily enter the cells that line the nose and the mouth.
Right.
Is that correct?
Right. That's true. And that's the reason why the eyes have come up as an entry point.
Right. Okay. So that's an interesting stat, because again, that's how COVID entered a lot of our bodies, was through, right? Which is why we ended up with all of the COFIX kind of stuff and the clear and all of that, you know, nose and
right.
mouth.
Well, I mean, here we go. This is a great opportunity for, remember the original paper with dilute povidone iodine, they used iodine drops, just a very dilute iodine drop in the eye, and it was very effective. So sprays and gargles, potentially even iodine drops, because it doesn't, you know, invade the body that that aggressively.
Right.
But
a guarantee. It's like an insurance policy to keep it out of there, isn't it? You know.
Right. Well, again, oral nasal hygiene, probably throw in here. Ocular hygiene, very important. But this has all of the look and feel of the next disease.
Well, you certainly convinced me of a couple of things here, I have to tell you. And I want to get you your opinion on one other thing here. In the Telegraph, they had a piece here. Ground up chicken waste fed to cattle may be behind the bird flu outbreak in U.S. cows. Listen to this here. Experts are warning that lax regulations could also see the virus spread in the U.S. pig farms, to your point earlier, Dr. McCullough, with serious consequences for human health. Fears are growing that H5N1 outbreak among cattle in the U.S. could have been caused by contaminated animal feed. Now, listen to this. I didn't know this. In contrast to Britain and Europe, they don't do this in Britain, in Europe, but American farmers are still allowed to feed cattle and other farm animals ground up waste. That's disgusting. From other animals, including birds. That is ridiculous. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
I didn't know it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I agree.
So we're eating their crap and everything else when we eat all this stuff. This is disgusting. What the hell's the FDA on this stuff? I mean,
where is the USDA? Right. You're right. This is, we're going to have to stay on top of this. Anybody who's listening to the show, if you've got expertise on this, please email us. We want to be ahead of this story now. It's just got too much momentum. And it's going to come up now time and time again. I've become, rapidly educated in the last 24 to 48 hours.
And I've been doing it as well. When you when you told me this is what we really need to talk about and you picked this, I said, okay, let's take a look. But yeah, doing some research on it, it's fascinating to see the basis of some of these arguments. But I see what you mean when you say this is really lit. It's ground zero for a major problem here, right?
Yeah. And just now the CDC says, listen, the current drugs that I outlined to treat influenza, the four drugs, they should be fine. So we've got drugs ready to go. They already have the BARDA vaccine with Sequeira's announced, approved, and ready to go. It has some toxicity to it, but the safety of it, at least the first generation one, looks like other flu shots. But the interesting twist on this, remember COVID-19 when it hit, do you remember when people were panicking and buying toilet paper? Remember that?
Oh, yes.
So the public is susceptible to mass panic. And if you see a mass panic on the food supply, it's going to make this COVID toilet paper thing look like a picnic.
I do. I'm shaking my head here in disbelief of the conversation that we're having here a little bit here. But we're thinking about historically what's happened over the last 4 years now and what the possibilities are. And let's face it, as I've told you how many countless times, Dr. McCullough, we've lost trust. We've lost total trust in the system. And I think most Americans would stand behind us in that statement, don't you think?
Oh, for sure. There's a lack of trust. I think we're even more set up for mass confusion, mass panic, not less mass panic, but more.
Yeah.
We're set up for more because people don't know who to trust. And a lot of people are saying, you know what, I'm taking matters into my own hands.
Yeah.
We're going to see a lot more of that. And we don't know what manifestation that behavior is going to be manifest as. But I think if this takes off like we think it's going to, if we don't get ahead of this in the major media, I'm a little bit worried. You know, I haven't been called back on national TV during monkeypox. I was on national TV multiple times. No, we're figuring this out. We got this. And we basically settled down the nation when Fauci and the monkeypox czar they installed in the Biden administration, where they were driving fear like you couldn't believe. Remember, we had Eric Adams in New York City saying that everybody in New York was going to have to go back to masking and get a monkeypox vaccine.
He is. They're just a bunch of Marxists in New York. It's terrible. I feel for the people up there, man. It's a pretty sick environment. Quite a story here with this. Bird flu and all of the makings of what Dr. McCullough says here, disease X. Everybody's been talking about it. We've had, like you say, Dr. McCullough, everyone's been wondering when that other shoe will drop of some sort. Again, all trust has been lost with agencies. I don't say that to be funny or to be like, it's really a pretty sad state of affairs today, I think, that so much trust has been lost in the system. And you can only blame the way these people have played it on all levels. They've been less than honorable at every turn, and they lie through their teeth, and they just scam people. And you look at all of the things that happened through ventilators and remdesivirs and HCQ and ivermectin and shots and vaccines and MRI. My golly, at every turn, there was a catastrophe. I mean, nothing went smoothly back then, unless you were in early treatment and you listened to like you and something else that got ahead. So I appreciate what you say here. I really, really do. And it's important.
Well, just along those lines, I wasn't sure if you're going to introduce this, but, Pfizer was just nailed on a major deception campaign And they've been reprimanded now by the Prescription Medicines Code of Practice Authority, PMCPA, in the UK. And they emphasized the breadth of Pfizer's lies about their COVID-19 vaccine. They found that Pfizer began violating industry standards in 2020 to promote their vaccine, meaning that Pfizer was misleading the public about their vaccine throughout the pandemic, even before announcing preliminary results of their COVID-19 clinical trials. And so this came out this week, and I'm quoting from Paul Thacker, who writes an excellent Substack, really a regulatory-oriented Substack. And you just said that we've been lied to, that we've been deceived, and here it is. You know, independent bodies are finding exactly that to be the case.
I know it. I see more than anybody. I see all of this communications. That so much comes in here with listeners who entrust their conversations and their emails to the network here, and I see it all. I see nobody trusts anymore. It's gone. It's gone. They blew it. They blew it, and it's at an all-time low. And they just don't trust the system anymore on any level. So this is going to play to that. This bird flu is a fascinating conversation here, and I can tell you this one: the listenership on this talk we're having right now, because of the title, is going to be significant, huge. It's always significant, but it's going to be even more so because people are going to want to tune in to get these comments and thoughts. On that point, let's go through a couple of real fast things here. I want to mention here, first of all, that with all of this stuff, let's just get serious moment here, that both Clear and Cofix RX are great remedies for nasal hygiene and throat as well, throat spray. Of course, Clear has the xylitol in it and is available in drugstores, pharmacies, and it's an outstanding product. I use both that and I use Cofix both. And Cofix has got the new throat spray as well. So I want to mention those. Those are something we should keep close by, you think?
For sure. And I've been so impressed with the randomized trial data on prevention with the xylitol-based product. So there's been a randomized trial of xylitol preventing COVID-19. It actually has better prevention data than vaccines do. And I think it's much more preferable than hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. And simply two sprays in each nostril twice a day. I like the xylitol-based gargle, a spray, and I use it at home. That's perfectly fine. Now for acute treatment, I like to switch over to the iodine-based product. I think Cofix RX, which is now really supercharged, it has not only the iodine, the most recent Cofix RX has xylitol in it, vitamin D. It's a terrific product. Now, the Cofix RX also comes in a smaller travel-ready vial, so that's kind of your go-to when you get sick. The spray is very handy. The Cofix spray, you simply spray. I do about five pumps in the back of my throat.
About five?
Yeah. And I hold it back there. So if one becomes sophisticated in sprays and gargles, I'm telling you, we are ready for bird flu. We're ready for the next disease X.
Isn't that interesting? Wow. I'm so glad you say what you say there. When you go to AmericaOutloud.shop, and if you click the Clear, you'll see all mentions there, the ads or whatever. There's a lot of research in there. Nathan Jones, the principal of Clear, is an outstanding guy, his organization. And they provide all kinds of stats and research and data. Always do your own research, friends. Never take anybody's word for it. And do your investigation and make sure you're comfortable with what you're taking. It's really important. But anyways, a lot of studies and research there with Clear. Same thing with Cofix RX. With Cofix RX, you can buy that online. It's your purchasing cycle is different than Clear. That one you get 20% off by using the code OUTLOUD all the time on every order on Cofix. And just click that, go right into the site, and same thing, you'll get all the discounts there, and you'll cleanse away the foreign invaders as their message is and everything else. So that's important. I want to get that out of the way right there. I also want to bring your attention to the Wellness Company because they have a whole new website we have up for our listeners, our family of listeners and readers. If you go to AmericaOutloud.shop, click any of the wellness ads and you'll go right to it, the Wellness Company ads. And you'll see Dr. McCullough pictured in there. It's a beautiful, beautiful display they've got here using the promo code Out Loud. Again, you'll see the visual of Dr. McCullough right there. Just take a look at it. And you'll see the products. They have the kits, first of all, the medical, the contagion travel first aid. Everybody should be having these. There's no reason why you wouldn't want to have this on hand, accessible close by, especially with all these potential problems that could come out of this. Dr. McCullough, what do you think?
Agreed. You know, everybody, if they have the pandemic kits, now we are going to be meeting shortly, and we may make some kind of moves on the fly to cover bird flu with the antivirals in the contagion kit. We're ready to do that. One positioned with wellness company kits at home is, you know, they're going to be in great shape. Now, I wanted to just make a comment, Malcolm. I'm looking it up. Cofix RX is sold at community pharmacies. So it's sold at the one next door to me, which is Beaker. It's sold here. I'm looking at one online, Town and Country Pharmacy. Clear is sold everywhere, including right. retail pharmacies.
Right.
Right. But if I was to buy them, I'd actually buy them through America Out Loud, because the discount that we get through the America Out Loud store, America Out Loud shop, it's night and day cost between trying to buy these on the open market, much lower with America Out Loud.
Right. So that code Out Loud comes in handy every time you use it there. And I want to get to the base spike detox trio. I'm on the website, and I love looking at this site. They've done a fabulous job with this. That's the bromelain, the spike support, the turmeric extract. And for instance, that would normally be $119. I'm looking right here at the price, and your price here with the discount is $89.25. So there it is there. I want to take a few minutes. I want you to talk about this wonderful product that you were very influential in putting together, and it's it's your field of expertise and influence for sure is the heart. I mean, you're it. When I think of heart, I think of you as a cardiologist. But that's this healthy heart here from the wellness company. Tell us about that.
Healthy heart is what I tell patients who have high blood pressure, who have a weakened heart failure, all the patients with myocarditis, of which there are a lot, is what they need. And let me tell you, everything in here has a very strong evidence base. When the heart becomes weak, it becomes more needy for vitamins. So listen to this. So vitamin B1, it has thiamine in it, riboflavin, B2, vitamin B6, pyridoxine, folate, which is a methylated folate at a pretty high dose, vitamin B7, biotin, B5, pantothenic acid, selenium, super important. And selenium deficiency itself causes heart failure. D-ribose, L-taurine, L-carnitine, and coenzyme Q10 ubiquinone. And so this product, you know, two capsules is a serving size. I recommend two capsules twice a day.
I mean, that's an incredible package of ingredients with that product. With all the heart problems that people have struggled with from the vaccines and from COVID itself, is this something they should consider?
Yeah, they really should. The Spike Support, which is their lead detoxification supplement, and Healthy Heart, they really go hand in hand. All these people with chest pain, we're concerned that they may or may not have had heart-related problems. It falls into the category of why not. And I tell patients, listen, get a membership. Once it has a membership in Wellness Company, then you get even additional discounts. Use the promo code OUTLOUD. Out Loud to get the deep discounts. If you were to go buy these separately, Malcolm, and you can get coenzyme Q10, for instance, and you can get, you know, a super B complex,
taurine and all that.
You're going to go way past this on cost. Where Wellness Company makes it affordable is they put so many ingredients in a single capsule.
And that's the thing. And this would normally be $60, but with the discount, we get it for $44.99. So anyways, that's the code there. But we hadn't really talked much about, I wanted to get to that healthy heart with the Wellness Company. I wanted to share that with listeners because we hadn't really discussed that before. And you were so influential in the makeup of that. I just think it's something with all the heart stress out there that people are in fear of myocarditis and issues from the vaccines and from COVID. This is a product that I think you might want to consider here as well. So the new website, again, marycarlisle.shop, click the wellness and you'll go right to this beautiful display of all the products. Again, there's a lot of research here, a lot of stats, a lot of studies. Dig deep, find out what you need. Any questions you have, send them in to us and we'll put them on the show here, no problem, okay? And that's the way you do that there. So so we're going to go to pause here and we'll be right back and get into some Q&A with your friends. Stay right there, more America Out Pulse.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe, air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutLoud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all. Okay, friends, we join you back here. It is Malcolm Out Loud here, along with Dr. Peter McCullough. And we are, we talk about a lot about this bird flu and disease X potential, I guess, whatever you want to suggest there. It's a pretty well lit situation that could turn ugly. So if you missed any of that early part of the broadcast, go back and listen. It was an incredible exchange with Dr. McCullough and I, right? You know, so a lot there. We'll be watching this very closely. This is Q&A 109. I want to jump into some questions right now, please, so we can do that. This one is from Chris. Our 99-year-old mother is, God bless her, first of all, Chris, I got to tell you. So our 99-year-old mother is getting over her second bout with COVID. She had an earlier variant of Omicron last year. She hasn't been too ill, God bless her, but more like a bad cold, and she wasn't given a Paxlovid due to her poor kidney function. She has dementia, but we noticed she was more, now listen to this, she was more clear-headed, sharper thinking, observant, and engaged while congested and sick. As she's gotten better, her dementia became more pronounced again. Mm-hmm. I found this fascinating. I thought COVID introduced a lot of inflammation in the body and figured her dementia would be worse while sick, but the opposite happened. Other caregivers noticed this as well. Any idea of what may be going on here as far as causing her to be more clear-headed while sick?
Well, in her case, she may have actually had a lot of adrenaline and some of the hormones that kind of sharpen the body's, the mind when acutely sick. But she's exhibiting a pattern that's well described in the literature now. After COVID, elderly patients do lose cognitive function. They do, and some actually the dementia gets worse. Now, there's a more common pattern, and that is when elderly are acutely sick with a respiratory infection, a bladder infection, they develop what's considered, an acute confusion, or the correct medical term is called delirium. They get delirious, and they, forget things. They're forgetful. They may not recognize their family members. A lot of our listeners will have elderly parents or grandparents in the hospital and say, listen, they were out of it for a couple of days. They were out of it. And I never forget when my wife's father was hospitalized many times in his 80s and 90s. And he'd be in the hospital and he said, there's ants crawling all over me. And he'd actually become delusional. And it's just, it's being in the hospital, it's being sick, usually happens at night. It's called sundowning. So that's a common pattern. But what we're observing with COVID, Malcolm, is that this observation that she's not as sharp as she used to be, that's having COVID.
This next one's from Lena. How to heal cardiac sarcoidosis?
That's a tough one. Cardiac sarcoidosis, we diagnose it by a clinical exam, EKG, and MRI. The MRI lights up like a Christmas tree. It's typically treated with steroids, corticosteroids. Many patients need ICDs or pacemakers. It doesn't have much of an overlap with systemic sarcoid or pulmonary sarcoid, only about a 15% overlap. That's been shown in a study by Roberts and colleagues. But we hope that sarcoidosis, which typically occurs more in African Americans at whites, middle age, that we can get it under control with some pulse steroids. Sometimes we have to use a drug called mercaptopurine. No one knows is the cause of this, but it is a problem. Listen, cardiac sarcoid, take it seriously.
Yeah. This one's from Dorothy. What is the mechanism of these cardiac arrests without myocarditis?
There may be myocarditis, and it's just too small of a patch of involvement to pick up on the MRI or on autopsy. So what we know in the fatal myocarditis paper by Hosher and colleagues, nobody had a chance to have an MRI ahead of time. This is really important. It's not like they're walking around, hey, I have myocarditis, then I have a cardiac arrest. They have the cardiac arrest first, and that's the first manifestation of myocarditis. Then at the time of autopsy, it looks like myocarditis. And even in the autopsies are not undergoing proper staining for the vaccine spike protein. So Holscher's continued with the second paper now of a man who died here in Texas. And we have a checklist now for what the medical examiner should do, including staining for the spike protein. So the point is, it still may be myocarditis in either an MRI wasn't done or the right autopsy techniques weren't done. But in the setting of an individual who really the doctors don't think has myocarditis, they've been kind of cleared to play, they're out there and they have a cardiac arrest, we're concerned that metabolism in the heart has been thrown off. In this paper by Nakahara and colleagues that shows everybody who takes the vaccine takes on a diseased pattern on cardiac PET scanning with uptake of 18-fluorodeoxyglucose is really disturbing. Meaning everybody who takes the shot, Malcolm, their heart is not completely normal. And that maybe some individuals that given the right conditions, the right background genetics and everything else, that may be the substrate for a cardiac arrest.
Yeah, the heart's been, it's just been hit the most, I think, from a lot of this here. I see so many reports of that. This next one I got to get in from Sarah. Dr. McCullough, I don't know if anyone will see this in time, but do you have any idea on how my son can get his adopted 13-year-old daughter into the country from Bulgaria without the jabby? Listen to this, that the U.S. government is still requiring. Unbelievable, she says. They just found out and are going over next week to pick her up and bring her home. Who can we contact for help? So did you know the government's still requiring that?
I got a panic message from somebody on social media saying exactly the same thing. That must be the case. Oh. I'd go to wellness company, twc.health, get a telemedicine consultation and get an exemption for that. Now, the vaccines are part of this U.S. Immigration Comprehensive Medical Evaluation. On the website, it doesn't say mandatory. It says, you know, suggested. But I'd come in with an exemption on that and preempt that. But isn't it ironic, Malcolm, that, you know, somebody who's trying to come into the country the right way faces this. Yeah. And then we have this kind of wide open border situation where no one seems to care on the southern border.
Isn't that the truth? I can't top that one, sir. Now, this next one's from Carla. Carla, Dr. McCullough mentioned he had tinnitus with long COVID on Q&A 108. I was wondering if he took the spike detox for it and how long should one take it? He recommend magnesium, vitamin B12 or zinc or anything for this as well. I'm unvaxxed with a mild case of this, but I'm careful to avoid prolonged loud noises too with the tinnitus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also wonder if flying could aggravate it.
That's it. Yeah. So loud noises, flying, having another cold or another case of COVID will make it worse. Yes, I do have tinnitus. I think it was after the JN1 variant end of last year. Yes, I am doing detox. And I'm on month 4 and it's finally starting to get better.
Amen.
So it's less. And you know how I judge it, Malcolm, is when I get up in the morning, when it's really quiet, that's how you judge, you know, that ear ringing from day to day, week to week, month to month, you can judge how severe it is. So I can hear it a little bit now, but it's very manageable. And I am religious about taking, now I'm using Wellness Company Spike Support, and I'm taking 2 capsules twice a day, but some days I'll take 2 capsules even 4 times a day. It all depends on how empty my stomach is. By the way, when it comes to spike support and natokinase, bromelain, do not waste your time taking it on a full stomach. Do not. It must be taken on an empty stomach. So
well, that's important. Then good.
It's really important caveat. Okay. It's just that the stomach needs to be empty so the products can get in the bloodstream and actually get to the areas of the body where the spike protein needs to be dissolved. If you take spike support, which is natokinase and the bromelain with food, it's going to be completely preoccupied with the food. And none of it will get in the body to help you. And some people even get diarrhea when they do that because they're enzymes and they actually help break down the food stream. So don't take it with a meal. I tell every patient that, and we don't spend enough time online warning people about that. Take it on an empty stomach.
That's good advice right there then. Last one, we're going to sneak in here from Letitia. Dr. McCullough, there was a study released recently about the vaccine effect on the offspring of mice in terms of their neurological function. I know of people who have had a vaccine and have children who are fine mentally and physically. Why could this be?
It was a very well-conducted animal study. They do preclinical toxicity studies of other drugs. And sure enough, the animals where the mother was vaccinated in utero, they developed autistic-like tendencies. There actually is a way to test autistic tendencies in rodents, for instance, and that's exactly what was found. So there's a great concern that mothers who took the vaccine are going to have problems. And now most recently, the Pfizer, the only prospective randomized placebo-controlled trial in pregnancy, their data were finally released under the pressure, by the way, I think of court order. Pfizer was not going to release this. It was, I think, roughly several hundred women in each group. And you know what, Malcolm? There was a 4-fold increased rate of birth defects in the vaccinated mothers compared to the placebo.
Wow. All right. Okay, friends, we're out of time here. That is a wrap here on America Out Loud Pulse, Q&A 109, and the bird flu up front. Keep us posted on anything you see out there that's a bit odd to you or anything we should know about. Any questions you have, just send them on in here. Thank you for listening to America Out Loud Pulse. Always a beat ahead.